Saturday live on Dublin's Easy Place to Relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Susanna, I'm so pleased to have you back in the studio again. It's been quite some time now since we spoke, and it's always lovely to have you here and to share your innate wisdom. And I think a lot of us could really do with it, particularly now, because, you know, judging from conversations that I have with a number of people, that even though the pandemic, I suppose it's not exactly over, but we've gotten over a big hump. But a lot of us are feeling a sense of anxiety and fear and getting actually back out there again and kind of wondering, well, what's happening? Where does that come from? And who is this person? What happened to me?
Yeah. Oh, Carol, well, first of all, thank you for having me back. I just love being with you here. And I totally relate to what you're saying there. And because I feel it myself.
Do you?
You know, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I speak for a living. I've been doing it for years. And yet I found, because I've been out of, and now I've been doing it kind of all online and on Zoom, etc., for a couple of years now, that actually when I find now that I'm kind of getting bookings again for in-person speaking, that I'm suddenly, you know, the first one coming up, that I just noticed this little flicker of, oh, back on stage kind of thing, and a little bit of feeling of, oh, OK, that's a little bit of a step up again kind of thing. And I know I enjoyed them in the past. And so it's this feeling of like, why, you know, and you're kind of wondering what's happened to me, where have I gone to? And I think really what's happened is that because our circle of social circles kind of thing and of activities has changed so much and diminished so much, it's got so much smaller, that we're not building up the normal backlog of good, positive experiences that we would usually have had over those years. You know, we always refer to what's been most recently in our memories. And if we haven't had that speaking in public or presenting at the meeting or meeting new people or going out on a date, you know, for a long time, then we haven't had the experience to kind of reflect on and say, that was easy, that was fine. And we don't have that memory to back us
right
up, whereas we haven't built up a storage of good memories.
So we don't have the dialogue in our head to say, look, you did that last week,
exactly,
you were grand, so get out there now, you're fine.
Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of gone, or it's a little bit in the past. And actually, because, you know, we're always referring back to, well, what's happened to us in the last couple of weeks. So we don't have those memories, the little boosters. You know, I always kind of talk about kind of building up your little booster bank. And it's really important to kind of diary good experiences, because our memory tends to go to the negative experiences, because from an evolution point of view, of course, it was more useful to remember what was dangerous or toxic or poisonous, whatever it might be. But so our memories do tend to go to that, to the negative very, very quickly. But for nowadays, the thing about it is nowadays, we don't have, in our part of the world, we're very lucky to be able to say, those life or death scenarios mostly. Mm. What we have instead, our fears and our anxieties actually come from social threat nowadays. They come from, oh, you know, what happens if I, you know, I don't say the right thing? What happens if I don't have the information to hand and my boss asks me for it? What happens if I blush in front of somebody? Whatever it might be, all of these fears, and they're social threats. But because we're social beings, they're very, very important threats to us. It really matters. So while they may not seem to somebody else, and we have to be careful of belittling other people's worries, because it might seem, oh, that's nothing. But actually, again, from an evolutionary point of view, we're social beings. We got information from other people, and we do need to connect. And so all of our biology tells us to connect with other people.
And isn't that the irony, I guess, is that while we all, or most of us now, would feel this need to reconnect again, but on the other hand, there's a part of you saying, I'm fearful because I'm not even sure I know how to reconnect again. So it's easier to just say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go out. It's easier to stay home.
Totally. And we're just out of practice. And what I would say is just to be honest about it, because you can be guaranteed that other people are feeling the same way. So I would always kind of say, you know, when somebody says, how are you doing, to actually be honest about it. Because, you know, in Ireland, we've got a real habit of saying, I'm grand.
But do you think people really want to know? Like, if you ask someone, well, how are you today? I think most people don't really want to know how you are. They just say it out of, is it politeness?
No, I think they do. Because what you're doing is you're giving a little bit of a real you, as opposed to kind of just a deflection of, I'm grand, how are you? Getting the attention straight off you. To be honest, you're sharing a little bit of yourself and your humanity. And that gives other people license to do the same and to say, oh, I'm glad you said that because, or whatever it might be. So the leap for them to be able to say, do you know something? I'm really not doing well, is less because you've opened that door of honesty and being a little bit vulnerable yourself. And it's also kind of a compliment. You're actually, you're telling somebody a little bit about the truth about yourself, and that's a compliment to the other person. So I think never, never be afraid to say that and to be honest.
And do you think, Susanna, and particularly in your line of work, you have great insight into people, there's often a tendency for us to think that whatever we're feeling, we're the only one feeling this. I am unique. Nobody's really going to understand how I feel, and I think I might be a bit of a freak, when in actual fact, the chances are that most people that come into your social circle are possibly feeling the same thing. So that's another thing that we need to get over, that you're not the only one.
Totally agree. Totally agree. If there's one thing that psychology has taught me, is that what you're feeling, you are not the only person who's felt that. That's the real insight, actually, that I think you've just really hit on, that I've learned for myself from psychology, is that we are not alone. We do share all of these feelings, but we all put on this kind of social mask, don't we, in front of other people, because we're told what we're supposed to value, and we're supposed to be, you know, always busy, and we're supposed to kind of have good stuff and nice stuff and all of that kind of thing. And actually, the more you can share of yourself, the more you, as I say, you give license to other people to feel, I am not alone. They may say to them even, thank you for it. They may not. But you can have done somebody a great favour by just showing a little bit more yourself and a little bit more vulnerability. Because it does also mean that what we're saying is that in mental health and spiritual health, it has fluctuations, just like physical health does. It doesn't mean you're in peak physical condition or particularly ill. You've got ups and downs in the day and within a day and within the weeks. And it's the same with mental and spiritual health. There's little ups and downs and undulations. So it's trying to, by you saying, I'm not great today, or I'm wrecked today, or whatever it might be, or, you know, golly, I didn't sleep well last night. You know, I'm really worried about something that's coming up. That may be all you need to say, but it means that you are recognizing that there's ups and downs in all our days. Mm. And it allows other people to feel less alone and less like they're the only ones feeling it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, for anybody listening at the moment who is thinking, OK, I totally get that, but I'm in a situation right now, say, for instance, I've been in fact, I know somebody who was invited to a wedding next month, and she is absolutely terrified of going to this wedding because she says, I think I've lost the art of conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say to anybody anymore. Mm-hmm. And I feel very self-conscious about it. So I think I'm just going to write and say, I'm not feeling very well and I'm not going to go. And I think a lot of people will empathise with that.
Absolutely.
So how do you get yourself beyond that?
And the problem is that as soon as you get any kind of anxiety or fear, our lens of attention gets narrower and narrower instead of wider. So you tend to cut out all of the contradictory information. You tend to cut out all the good experiences that you might have. And you get into what's called what-if thinking. It's the narrator in our head that says, oh, what if I'm sitting beside somebody that I don't know? And, you know, I've just nothing in common with them and all of that kind of stuff. That has a picture attached to it. And our brain reacts to pictures. So of course we're going to react to that horrible feeling. Our brain, a bit like if I say to you, you know, imagine biting into a lemon, you'll feel it in your mouth.
Yes.
The same happens in the brain for imagining sitting down in a really awkward, stifled kind of conversation. And the brain responds to that to tell you to kind of escape and get away. So actually just realizing that your brain has narrowed down into the negative scenarios and actually just kind of say, okay, but this is realizing that this is something that is frightening me a little bit. The first thing is don't avoid it, because avoiding it just says fear has won. So don't avoid it, but do actually start to think about, well, you know, if you want to, a little bit of practice, a little bit of, you could ask, you could prepare a couple of conversations. You could always remember that people love to talk about themselves. So you could ask a couple of questions in advance. Also kind of prepare a little bit that morning or whatever it might be to change the lens. So it might be what you're wearing. Make sure in a wedding, you're probably going to be feeling good anyway. You're going to have dressed up a little bit. It might be to do with movement. It might be to do with people that make you laugh, or listen to the podcast of a comedian on the way in if you're going by car, or whatever it might be. Music that relaxes you, whatever it might be, that goes from that tight, tight, unrelaxed lens to a much bigger picture, and to realize it's not as big as I'm making it in my mind. You're expanding out your attention to the other stuff that makes you feel good. You'll go in a much more relaxed way. And also to remember, we've all been through slightly stilted conversations and came out none the worse for it, because everybody experiences that. You don't have to get on really well with everybody. Mm. You're not there to perform. You're invited because you're loved and you're cared for and somebody wants you to be there. So getting out of the performance idea of, I have to be a really good conversationalist. Some people are and some people aren't. Oh, so you will be able to move around, and that actually makes you able to find the person that actually you are able to kind of connect with, maybe because they're feeling exactly the same thing. And the other thing that I sometimes think, perhaps not so much for the wedding, but in other, say if it's a worried about work or something like that, if I'm ever nervous going onto a big stage or something like that, what happens when you're fearful is that your attention goes back onto yourself. How am I doing? How am I performing? Do they like me? Etc. And that all is very much judgmental. Whereas if you bring your attention back out to the audience and saying, or to the people at the table and saying, what can I do to serve them? So if it's kind of, if the meeting, what can I do to be helpful to the person from accounts that's looking for information, or whatever it might be, what can I do that might serve somebody else? Because somebody else there, I have the power in me to say something that's either kind, a compliment, maybe somebody's at the table that's smiling away at the wedding, but actually is feeling quite alone or not very nice or doesn't know a soul there or whatever it might be. You can be of service to somebody else at the table or at the wedding.
I love that. Yeah.
Attention away from yourself.
Attention away from yourself too. And also maybe a reminder that what goes on in our heads and then the subsequent reality, two very different things. And the reality generally isn't near as scary as what we make it out to be in our heads beforehand.
So true. So true. Okay. So true.
Susanna Healy, just a pleasure to have you back with us. And Susanna, I know the last time you were in, you were actually giving workshops and I know that they had to stop for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Are you getting back into that again now? Yeah.
Yes, I am indeed. Yeah. So we have kind of, I've got some retreats coming up. The dates aren't yet finalised yet, but you'll get them on susannahealy.com or meaningmaker.ie is another way to get me.
Okay, yeah. Lovely. Susanna, yeah. Pleasure to have you back and look forward to having you back on with us again now in the not too distant future.
Love to. Thanks for having me.